Tonight, I'm going to be talking with you about a subject. And again, I don't think tonight you're going to leave this place and go, wow, I didn't know any of that stuff. Because what I'm talking about tonight is something that's very familiar with all of us. But it is something that we need to be reminded of. And I'm just praying tonight, and my prayer was when I was putting this together, is that somehow tonight, when you leave here tonight, you can feel encouraged by the Word of God. Because tonight we're talking about a subject that is very important for every single person in this room. Because every single person in this room, you need this to get through life. You need this to be able to make it through some days. And that's why this subject is so important. For tonight, I'm talking to you about the subject, and the word is hope. The word hope. And so it is very important tonight that we understand that everybody here tonight, from this side of the room to this side of the room, it is very important that we understand, and I hope I can lead us to a place to where we know how to do this, that it's very important that we understand that we have hope in our life, and that hope only comes through Jesus Christ. And when you have that hope in your life, what happens is when things come into your life, when storms come into your life, you have God right there with you, and God is on your side. If you look at Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace." So first of all, what you see is this. God has thoughts toward you, so God wants everybody in this room to have peace. My question to you tonight, do you have peace? Do you have the peace of God? Or is inside your soul in turmoil over things that are going on? But God's plan for you is to have peace. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about peace, even though hope will bring you peace. It says that I thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future, do you realize in here tonight that if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that Jesus and God, they have a purpose for your life? Don't let anyone tell you you're not worth anything. If you're a creation of God, and if you are saved by Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you tonight that you have a purpose in life. Many people say, well, I don't understand. I don't see what this is. Listen, I'm telling you, you turn your heart over to God, and you submit to God, and say to God, God, I know I have a purpose in my life. You've given me a purpose. It says right here in the Scripture, He has a future for you. Now, when none of us know what that future is, only God knows that. But God wants to lead you down the path and give you a future. But then here we are. He not only gives you a future, but He gives you a hope. And so everybody here tonight, you have a hope. It's kind of nice, isn't it? And so this isn't anything that's like rocket science kind of stuff. But what it is it's stuff that we need to know. And so to start out tonight, and when I'm talking about hope, I'm probably going to take you to a sad place. It's a place that really doesn't start out and didn't start out to have much hope. I want to show you a picture. This picture right here, this is called The Gap. It's in Sydney, Australia. I would consider this to be a place of hopelessness. But see, even in a place of hopelessness, you'll see in a minute with this story, that there's hope. This place, The Gap, let's see the other picture that we have of The Gap. They had to put up this fence on this place because, sadly, this is a place of hopelessness. If not one person every other day is what they estimate, people that have lost all hope in their life go to The Gap in Sydney, Australia, and they take their own life. They get to the point in their life where they feel that they have no hope, and this is the place called The Gap. Well, there was a man that lived right by The Gap. His last name was Richie. They called him the Angel of The Gap. Let's see his picture. He died in 2012. There's his picture. This is a nice man, isn't it? Well, every day him and his wife would get up, and they lived right by the gap, and he would go to his window, and he would take out his binoculars every day. For about 40 years he did this. And for 40 years he would look out his binoculars at the gap, and if he saw somebody standing at the gap, he would leave his home, walk to the gap, walk behind the person, and say, "Would you like to have a cup of tea? Would you like to talk?" And it's estimated, now the paper said 160, his family estimated that he probably saved over 500 people during this time. In 2010, Australia made him Citizen of the Year. They gave him the nickname Angel of the Gap. He says, "I can't just stand there and see all this hopelessness and not do anything about it." And so for 40 to 45 years, especially right before he died in 2012, he would go up and he would say, "Would you like to have a cup of tea?" They would turn around and they were interviewing somebody that actually did not take their life because they talked to him. And they just said, you couldn't resist his smile. He would just say, "Would you like to talk?" The Angel of the Gap is what they called him. And you know, I thought about that when I was looking and thinking about hope. He gave a lot of people hope, didn't he? And in this world that we live in today, he's the Angel of the Gap. But in this world we live in today, there's many, many people around this whole world that have lost hope, have lost their purpose in life, have lost what they need to do. And I'm here tonight to say that we have someone like the Angel of the Gap, but we have someone even bigger than the angel. We have the Savior of the Gap. We have the Savior that comes into your life, and the Savior gives you hope. And that's what I want us to focus on. Our world needs hope. There is a need, we know that, in this world for hope. We see it on the news. There's war across the world. There's poverty in the world. There's countries with missiles that are unbelievable, are doing this and doing this. You see children that are getting killed. Politics is driving everyone crazy. And it just seems sometimes that there's just no hope. And people are confused and they just don't know what their purpose is. And there's no hope. And you see it in their eyes and they're searching for something. But when I look at that in the whole world, that's the big whole world picture. I think you all see kind of what's in the world, what's going on in the world. But let's bring it back to Pasadena, Texas. Let's bring it back to First Baptist Church, Pasadena. And let's just say that sometimes in our life, things happen to us that we can have a tendency to lose hope if we're not careful. Satan has a heyday with our thoughts. Something goes wrong at work. Something happens here. And he goes, just gets in our mind. And pretty soon, before we know it, we've lost hope. We've lost our focus on God and how God wants us to live our lives. But God's here to remind us tonight, remind me, remind you, that there is hope, and He is hope. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life, and, you know, I name these big things like missiles and poverty and world hunger and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know sometimes when we go through hard times, and when we kind of get down and depressed and we're losing our hope, we say to ourselves, "Well, it's not that big a deal. Look at all the other things going on in the world." Well, I'm saying to you, it is a big deal because God loves you. God loves you personally. And I understand why we say that, because we try to just rationalize. But listen, when you are going through a rough time and when you're going through things in your mind and when things are happening in your life and you're having a tendency to lose hope in your life, I'm here to say God loves you personally, one-on-one. And He wants you to know just as much as he wants anyone to know and the whole world to know, he wants you to know that there's hope in him. There's hope with what's going on in your life. There's a way out of what's going on in your life. So if you have a problem with your job and it bothers you, I'm here to tell you there's hope. If you lost a job and you're looking for another place, I'm here to say there's hope. When you get a bad medical report, which sometimes people do, I'm telling you there's hope. When you have a child that seems to be not going the right way, I'm here to say there's hope. When you have an argument with your spouse and you just aren't even on the same page anymore, I want to say there's hope. When you're going through a divorce, when you're going through a separation, I'm here to say to you that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Many people, as they get older, they start contemplating that they're going to die, and it really, they start losing hope and they start losing purpose. I'm here to say to you, no matter what your age is, whether you're 2 or you're 92 or 102, there's hope. God has you here for a purpose. And so you have a relationship and there's things going on. Maybe you just feel depressed because of what's going on in your life. Maybe, like I said before, and this happens a lot, Satan attacks our thoughts and our minds and we start worrying about things and that we really shouldn't be worrying about. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we worry about it anyway and we put our heads on the pillow at night and it just won't go away. I'm here to tell you that even when that happens in your life, that there's hope. This can make us nervous. This can make us depressed. It can make us worried. It can make us do things that we don't really want to do, but we do them when we have no hope. But I'm here to remind you, do not lose hope. And I'll share that with you in a minute, because our hope is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm here to say that with Jesus Christ, He is the only hope. He is the hope that keeps us going. He is the hope in this world that has no hope. He is the one that keeps us going. And so you have a purpose in life, and God wants to remind you tonight that He's right there with you. And so now that I've gone through that, I guess that's called the introduction, right, John? That's the introduction. I'm going to put on my theological hat for a minute. Hey, how's that? Of course, you think I know all this stuff. I looked all this up. But I found 3 Hebrew words for hope. Well, 2 Hebrew words and 1 Greek word. Okay, woo, I'm impressed. Okay, so here's the thing. But you've got to understand this, because I had to make a definition of hope myself. Does that make sense to you? I had to figure out what hope was. I've looked up definitions, and they're all over the place. People that define hope. But there's one Hebrew word that's in the Old Testament, and it's tikvah. Now, what that basically means, that's the word for hope. They use that in Psalms, uses it a lot of time in hope. But basically what it means is this. It's an expectation. It means expectation that something's going to happen. The word picture for that is this. It's almost like a tight cord, and it's almost like someone's in a pit, and there's a tight cord, and they just think about it. If you were in a pit and there's a cord, and literally it means a cord, a strand, but there's an expectation. So if somebody threw a rope over that and you were in that pit, wouldn't there be an expectation? What's that expectation? That somebody's going to save you. Somebody's going to take care of you. And so hope, the first thing I found out was this. I just put this together myself just so, but God, I believe God's the one holding that cord. And I believe God's the one that has that cord, and He has it down in the pit, and He's saying, I want you to expect me to take care of you, because God will take care of you. So the first thing I found out about hope is that there needs to be an expectation. The second word that I found, which is basically kind of the same thing, was Yahal. Yahal means this. It's the word hope. It's used in hope 22 times in the Old Testament. Now, this word right here means this. Not expectation. That's what the other thing was. But basically, it means this. It means to be patient. To be patient. So far, what it is this. When we're looking at the word hope in the Old Testament, we have 2 main words. expectation and patience. So can you see what we're trying to define hope as so far? And see, if you look in the Old Testament, what you're going to see, though, is when you read the word hope in the Old Testament, it's really a hope, it's an expectation of something to come. And what's the something to come in the Old Testament? It's Jesus Christ. You have hope in God. Well, the hope in God in the Old Testament was that one day Jesus Christ was going to come, die on the cross for our sins, rise up on Easter, and he was going to save us from our sins, conquer death, and now we have salvation through grace. That was the hope of the Old Testament. And so when you see hope that way, that's what you're looking at. And then when you go to the New Testament, you have the word elpis, elpis. And basically what that word means for hope is it basically means to anticipate. It's kind of like to anticipate. It means the same thing, kind of have confidence. Have confidence. So you have to have confidence that there's a God that has a rope down in the pit, and you got to be patient, and God's going to take care of you. And so if you're going to write a definition of hope, this is what I wrote: to anticipate, expect, and wait with confidence. Let me read it again. To anticipate, expect, and wait with confidence the promises of God. That's what hope is. To anticipate, expect, and wait. Nowhere did those Hebrew words, did they use the word panic or fear or worry. It means this, that we have a God that has a rope, and I would think that the rope that God has never breaks. Do y'all, can you all agree with that? And he has it down, ready to take care of us. And we should expect that from God. And we should anticipate that from God. And at the same time, because we don't know what God's purposes is in the storms that we have in our life, we need to be patient while we're going through this. For some storms are going to last longer than other storms. You all agree with that? And so one of the words of patience is very important. So you have to have hope when you have trouble. And so if you do not have hope, or when you face a situation, if you do not have hope, if you do not see God, then the only alternative to not seeing who God is to be angry and bitter. So when we're faced with a situation, if you have no hope in your life, what's going to happen is you're either going to see God or you're going to be angry or bitter. And then it's going to cause fear. And then you're going to worry. And then things happen in your life and you wonder what's going on. You know, we see that in the Bible. I'm going to read this to you in Luke 23. This is the Jesus on the cross. Even when Jesus was on the cross between two thieves, there was hope. One saw it, one got bitter and angry. See, when faced with a situation, that was hard, one criminal on the cross said, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" The other one said, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Just kind of mocking who Jesus was. If you're the Christ, you be that way. The other one said, "God, don't you see who this is?" See, even the criminal on the cross had hope to see God for who God was. If a criminal on a cross about to die can see God for who God is, if Jesus Christ is in our heart, don't you think we can see God for who God is? And that is the Savior of the gap, the Savior of hope, the one that gives you hope. And so I put an acrostic together. Learn from John, learn the best, and put our acrostic together. H-O-P-E, it's hope. So I'm going to go through this, give you one scripture or so, just so you understand, as a reminder to you tonight when you walk out of here, that there is hope in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going through that mind of yours. I probably don't want to know. Like you don't want to know. But I'm telling you this. If you're like me sometimes, sometimes your thoughts get all messed up. And you just have to rely on the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. So the H, He alone is our hope. Amen? You can't start better than that. He alone is our hope. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Wow, isn't that great? Expectation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is the refuge for us. When it's talking about God's hope, He is my expectation. He is my hope. That's what that word means. He is my hope. I know some hard things happen to us sometimes. We go to the doctor and we don't like what we hear. Things happen in our life, we don't like that. Something happens at the job and somebody just looks at you wrong and it was a terrible day. And if we're not careful, we let that consume us. Am I right? But God doesn't want that stuff to consume us. He wants us to realize He is the strength. He alone is the one that takes care of us. He's the one that gives us that hope. Trust in Him at all times. See, I'm not going to give you a test when you leave here tonight. I'm encouraging myself. I probably just need to trust God more. Amen? If I think about it and I hear it like I'm hearing it tonight, then I know consciously that I probably need to trust God more in my life with certain things going on in my life. And if I have to do that, I really think everybody else has to do that because we're all human. And we all have things that happen in our life. So H, He alone is our hope. The O, open your heart to His promises. Psalms 31:24, write that down. You can look it up later. It says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. See, listen to this. If you hope in the Lord, what's going to happen is He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you courage. See, when we panic, we become weak. We become bait for Satan. But when we hope in the Lord, what happens to us is this. What happens to us is we have strength, and it's not our strength. We can't do it on ourselves. It's supernatural strength. It's supernatural strength and courage. You know, some people in the Bible say that there's 3,000 promises. Remember what I said the O was? Open your heart to His promises. Some people say that there's 4,000. Some people say there's 6,000. Some people say there's 8,000. You know what that's telling me? I think really hard on this one. What's that telling me? Nobody knows how many promises there are in the Bible. But there's a bunch, aren't they? And I know this. I know that when you have things going on in your life, the old hymn says it better than any of us, and we're going to sing it. Standing on the promises, we're going to sing that now. Let's sing it.
Join with me, standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Right, verse here.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit call. Resting in my Savior is my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
So if you're going through something and Satan comes to you and say you're not worth anything, you don't have a purpose for life, you've lost hope, it's hopeless, you stand on the promises of God and you say, I'm trusting in the Lord because God gives me hope. Don't lose your hope, people, because hope comes through Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you can stand on the promises. Whether there's 3,000, 4,000, 6,000, 8,000, however many there are, you can stand on those promises. Don't let Satan tell you that you cannot. You stand on those promises. I know it's an old hymn. I know it's something that we sing sometimes, but I'll tell you what, it's true. We stand on the promises of God. That is the O. The P is this: patiently wait on Him. Oh, we all know it. Isaiah 40:31. Many of y'all could quote this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I'm saying to you, I don't know why God lets some things last longer than other things. I'll never understand that, but God, I'll understand it one day. But I know this, one of the things about hope is you wait patiently on the Lord. You know what I found out? I found out that many times when I try to do it myself, I mess it up. It messes up. You know, sometimes I get out in my garage, I do woodworking stuff, and you know, there's nothing better than a woodworker and YouTube, okay? Because But sometimes I think, I don't need YouTube. I can do this myself. I can figure this out myself. And somehow the bookcase is sideways and crooked. I don't understand why that happens. Because I tried to do it myself. I didn't look at the instructions. But when I wait on the Lord and I stand on God's promises and I look at the instructions, it just seems to always turn out okay. It always turns out okay. Because the last is the E, the most important. Eternity is our glorious hope. Eternity is our glorious hope. Eternity comes from our salvation through Jesus Christ when a man is born again, though he may have trouble with his job, though he may have trouble and lose a job every once in a while, though a person may have financial problems, though a person may have a bad medical report, though a person may have a child that doesn't go the right way, though a person may have an argument with their spouse, though a person may go through a divorce, though a person may be getting older and contemplating whether their own death and what's going to happen, though a relationship goes bad, though they go through depression, though they may even have thoughts in their mind and Satan attacking their mind, when there seems like there is no hope, God steps in and God has given us eternity. For this place that we have on earth, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore we do not lose heart, for though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let me tell you here, it seems forever, but the Bible says it's just for a moment compared to eternity. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ That's why the Bible calls what we go through now a light affliction. It doesn't seem like it now, but the Bible calls it. And we understand what the Bible says. For working up for us and far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. What that scripture is saying is this: our eternity is the glorious hope that you one day, when we all take our last breath, will be for eternity with Jesus Christ and God in heaven. And that's the big hope. And so God, as long as He has you here on earth, has a purpose for you. And He has a hope for you. And He has a reason you're here. And He has a reason why you're doing what you're doing. One of those reasons I'll close with is this. One of the reasons God still has us here is because we know that God is and Jesus is the only hope. We need to spread that hope to the lost and dying world. We need to spread that hope to the people that are hopeless, to the people that are going through our streets day in and day out, not even knowing what's going on, who have lost all hope, who do not know what's going to happen when they go home that night, or don't even know if they go to work the next day, they're going to have a job. They don't even know where their next quarter is going to come from, where their next dollar is going to come from. Some people don't even know where their next meal is going to come from. There's a lot of people in this world that have lost their hope. And doesn't it just make sense that God keeps us here on earth because we have the blessed hope. We have the eternal hope. And that we're supposed to share that with a world that has no hope. So tonight, nothing rocket science. Nothing you went, oh, wow, I didn't know that, except for maybe those Hebrew and Greek words. But I'll tell you what, hope's enough. Have you lost your hope tonight? I just ask that you pray tonight and say, God, maybe my focus has been wrong. It's been on the things that I shouldn't have been thinking about and shouldn't have been going there, Father, I just kind of lost my hope in you. Well, you can turn that over to God and say, God, my hope is in you. I'm turning that back over to you tonight. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He will give you hope. He not only will give you hope in this world right now that we live in, but He will give you this eternal hope. Eternity with God in heaven. So let's bow our heads. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you heard this sermon tonight because God wants you to have eternity. That there's hope for your life. Just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I ask you to forgive my sins and make me a Christian. Come into my heart. Cleanse my heart. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer tonight, you are now a child of God. You have this glorious hope, eternal hope. Christian, if you're here tonight, I just ask during this time of invitation that if you need prayer, you come up. We'll pray for you. Just pray that hope back in your life or where you are, you just say, God, I've lost my focus. I need to get where I need to be. God, I want to turn it all over to you. You know, the invitation is a time where we just do business with God. We stand up front just in case anyone wants to join our church. Or somebody, if you got saved tonight, you come forward and let us know and we'll celebrate with you. This altar is open for you to pray if you need to pray. But our invitation is a time just for us and God, for God to do the business. And so, church family, I just ask that you let the Spirit move tonight in your heart and be directed by the Spirit. So, Father, as we're about to start this invitation, Father, I pray that your will be done. I pray, Father, we give this time to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. The invitation is now open.
Just as I am without one plea, but